I have decided to use bandages as an artifact. The interview and the research package focused on the traditional way of effectively dealing with safety and the administration of safety kits such as water and bandages. The interview researches on managing water, bearded seal blubber bandages, and caribou skin as a substitution for bearded seal fat bandages. In the beginning of the interview, I introduced the topic and then interviewed both my parents, Mary and Timothy. Mary provided answers for managing water, and Timothy provided for bearded seal bandages and caribou skin as a substitution for bearded seal blubber bandages, both from their knowledge and as well as from their own experiences. As for the research, I did research on how safety was dealt in an emergency where there were no health centers or hospitals. The resource is Inuri Sautit, a story told by Rebecca Onnochuak, my mother's mother, from the book Unikkaat Unikkaqtuallu, written in Inuktitut by Mika Inuksuk. The other resource is from Wound Care from the First Aid and CPR Manual. The questions I asked were, what is the difference between managing water and managing ice? And how was the water managed back in the days during the summertime and wintertime when there were no steels and metals? My mother responded, the difference between managing water and managing ice was that it was the girls' and the women's duty to get some water, where it was the boys' and the men's duty to get some ice. During the summertime, the girls were the ones to manage water using soon seal skin made into a small water bucket when the girls became able. They went to get water from a lake or a stream closest to where the family was settled. Even though the seal skin made into a bucket was small, the water was enough for a meal or a beverage. The reason the water bucket was small is because the girls were only being trained to run the water. When they were able to manage the water, the buckets for the ladies were made bigger. Two women were to help each other to bring the heavy load of water into the tent. During the wintertime, it was mainly for the boys to get some ice. The boys went to get some ice at a frozen lake, using chisel to pick the ice by dog sledding. When they picked ice, the technique was to pick ice about 2 to 3 feet away from the crack of the ice so that it would be easier to pick the right amount of ice depending on how much ice was needed. The further the crack was when picking ice, the bigger the ice it was. Their aim was to get a big chunk of ice. The chunks were placed on the sled and were brought near the igloo. I asked more questions and they were, how did the men go about hunting bearded seal skin during summertime and wintertime? What is the purpose for using bearded seal blubber as a bandage? And how were bearded seal blubber stored before there were any steels and metal? It was my father who responded this time. In the summertime, the men went bearded seal hunting by kayak. The tools they used were harpoons, hooks, and buoys, which were inflated seal skin. When the hunters found bearded seal in the waters, they paddled slowly, sneaking up to the bearded seal, waiting for the right time to harpoon the bearded seal. The harpoon had ropes tied around it, and the buoys were tied at the end of the rope. When they were close enough, they caught the bearded seals, harpooning them with their harpoons, and once they did, they threw the sealskin buoy into the water so that the bearded seal would not sink. They then paddled, dragging the bearded seal in the water to the land. In the wintertime, the hunters went bearded seal hunting by dog sledding. They dog sledded on the frozen ocean to look for breathing holes. Once the breathing holes were found, they prepared their harpoons and hooks. The buoys were not needed during the winters and waited at the breathing hole, trying their best not to make any footsteps. When the bearded seals finally rose from the water, they harpooned them and pulled them out of the water using their hooks. Once the bearded seals were butchered, the ladies were responsible for the blubber of the bearded seals because it was most useful for the ladies since they were the ones who owned kulliks. The horlicks were used to keep warm and also for cooking. The lady stored the bearded seal blubber in a seal skin, which were like the inflated boys. The blubber of the bearded seals was used as bandages. The person with a fresh cut is first cleansed with urine to make the wound area to become swollen before being bandaged. The fat of the bearded seals were drained and flattened with a scraper. Once it was drained and flattened, they put it on the wounded area and were tied around it. They kept the bandage on overnight so that the cut will stop bleeding and start to heal. The flattened fat is very healthy for wounds because it does not leave the wounded meat to dry, but brings the wound meat on the surface of the skin. When the wound surface dries, it starts to heal immediately. The mushrooms are originally edible, but when they are fully grown and no longer edible, they were used as bandages as well. As the gills of the mushrooms decays, the skin layer of the mushroom becomes easy to peel. The injured people use the decayed gills of the mushrooms as bandages. They filled in their cut with the decayed gills and attached the skin part of the mushroom on the wounded area. The decayed gills of the mushroom helped to heal the cut, and as the cut was healed, the decayed gills seeped out of the cut during the healing process. I was curious and asked even more questions, and they were, how did the men go about caribou hunting during summertime and wintertime? When do boys get in the role of hunting caribou? And how were caribou skins stockpiled before there were any steels and metals? My father continued on, the men dug sledded to go hunting for caribou during winters. They brought bow and arrows and a white umbrella as their weapons and tools. As soon as a herd of caribou was spotted, the dogs were pulled over since caribous have good sense of hearing and smelling. Instead, they walked towards the herds so the herds would not stampede away. The men were careful when approaching a herd of caribou to avoid being heard or smelled and went to the opposite direction of the wind, using their white umbrella to avoid being seen. Some men took advantage of their chances to catch a caribou and aimed wherever they desired at a caribou with their bow and arrow. On the other hand, most men cautiously aimed for the lining of the caribou's stomach for the reason that the caribou seems to be eating off the ground, stomping back and forth so that the hunters will have more chances of catching more caribou instead of alarming the herd if the caribou were to be shot anywhere else. Then during the summers, men camped by walking to search for herds of caribou. When spotting a herd, they used the same method as they would during winter times, avoiding the senses of the herd. The butchered caribous were piled on the rocks, and each man took enough meat for the families and sacked the meat on their backs with their caribou skins. The calves were usually caught by young boys, mainly to train them. Since the calves were easier targets than the larger caribous, and also because the calves often stayed in the same area when the mother caribous were shot and killed. It was when a boy became able they went hunting, handheld by their fathers at 5 to 8 years of age. A boy would begin to go with his father as soon as he was potty trained, able to stay put on the sled, and starting to use words to talk. The different forms of caribou were classified into a category of skin clothes and beds. The calf skins were made into girls' skin clothing because they were good and thin enough, where the larger caribou skins were sewn into adult skin clothing depending on their builds. The leftover skins were made into useful things such as thimble and sometimes bandages. The caribou skins were stocked into whatever fits as a bag, so that the women were conveniently taking leftover caribou skins to use them as patches. They were also good substitutions for bearded seal blubber bandages because they were softer compared to the seal skins. The caribou skins were softened, oftentimes textured like fabrics, with a scraper, which is why they were excellent substitutions. For my research, I have found my grandma's way of caring a wound, which was titled Wound Care. The interview and research outlines some key considerations about safety. It provides a clear definition of what bandages for cuts and scrapes are, the value of story in making meaning of scars. The interview went on to discuss the value of traditional way and lives as humans in the Arctic. The interview and research concludes with a brief exploration as to why safety kits are important in today's world. This interview and research offered a lot to think about for myself as a parent. One startling fact struck me as particularly important. People used to use the decayed gills of the mushrooms as bandages by filling in their wounded cut with the decayed gills. I know from experience that getting a cut stings the nerves, but the fact that my ancestors filled in their cuts with mushroom gills is mind-boggling. As a modern Inuk, I know that my time and energy is limited to feel such an irritation. There are trends and theories about the best and most effective way to bandage a cut. And according to my research, caring for a wound has improved. Every society has a way to deal with injuries and minor cuts, which include water at some point. Inuit ethnomedicine used animals and plants as treatments for wounds and cuts. A lot of safety kit remedies came from animal skins, fat, and plants. For example, the blubber of a bearded seal was tied around the wounded area as bandages, where bandages with stickers are now being used. Gills of the mushrooms were placed in the wounds like new skin would be applied. And caribou as replacement for bearded seal blubber. That is similar to how Kleenex and tape would be the replacements for bandages. The Inuit were nurses themselves. They brainstormed on how to treat a wound or a cut with their own safety kit.